We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
God's presence is here tonight. He has a plan for this meeting here tonight. It's no accident that you're here. As my wife said, we appreciate all the first-time visitors. We're so glad that you're here with us. How many of you guys have been here every single night this week? Wow, look at that. That is awesome. Man, I'm telling you, you know, the media and the world tries to portray the church as weak and that people aren't hungry for God, that the church is dying. But look at this place. I mean, all week long, people have been hungry for the things of God. People have been coming, pressing in, getting touched by God. The meetings have been growing. We've had more and more people coming. Man, all it takes is a place where you'll just really let God move. Because you know, people are sick and tired of fake and religion and just, you know, a nice little show for people to come to, right? People, they actually desire to know the truth. And they actually desire to have the presence of God in their life. You know, I've shared my testimony earlier this week, but I was at a place in my age, very young, 11 years old, where I just started to get sick of a religious experience. And it wasn't until I had an encounter with God Almighty that it changed the course of my life altogether. That when the presence of God washed over me, that I knew that my life would never be the same again. And I've seen that happening in many of you guys this week. And we've heard about it happening in Pastor Ben's life. And we're going to hear about how it hurt in my wife's life tonight. She has an amazing testimony of how God radically changed her life, totally turned her life around 180 degrees from the path that she was on to the path where she is now today. I mean, you wouldn't even recognize my wife six, seven years ago before she was saved. And I mean, people, when she shares her testimony, people wonder, like, how could that really be true about you? They couldn't even believe the things. But she's going to get into that later, so I won't steal her thunder. But tonight, press in. I hope you came hungry tonight. Tonight is going to be a night of victory. Amen. We're going to leave here so filled with the presence of God, so filled with faith that we'd be ready to charge hell with a dry water pistol. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank goodness. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 10. You know, we've been sharing different stories in the Bible about people that have had an encounter. You know, last night Pastor Ben was sharing about the woman with the issue of blood, and if you missed that, man, you missed something hilarious. Seeing Pastor Ben here walking around with the little rag over his head, dressed up as a little old lady. Man, that was hilarious. But the point that he was making... That was awesome. So, should we do it again? Yeah. Yeah, maybe sometime I'll be the little old lady. Actually, I don't know if she was old, but anyway, the point that he was making was that she had to press in and press through the crowd. And so when we say press in, that's what we're talking about. Sometimes, you know, maybe people are new to the things of God. They're new to a church service like this, and we're saying, press in, press in, press in, and you might not know exactly what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, is doing whatever it takes to get into God's presence, doing whatever it takes to be able to get a touch from Jesus. You see, that woman, she had obstacles in her way. We saw it where Pastor Ben had to push through the people in order to be able to get the touch, and that's what you're going to have to do tonight. That's what you have to do on a regular basis in your life, is to be able to push past the obstacles, push past all the distractions, push past whatever people are thinking about you, push past whatever you've been told in your life, and just do something absolutely radical to get the touch of Jesus. Amen. Don't worry about the babies. They're just pressing in too. I'm glad somebody came excited for church tonight, even if it's the babies. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and I was sharing about Zacchaeus one night, about how he climbed a tree, made himself look like a fool in front of all his colleagues, in front of all the people that were there with him, because he wanted to see who this man Jesus was that was coming through his town. And sometimes you might have to make yourself look like a fool, where you just get so hungry and so desperate to see who this man is that's in my town, see who this person Jesus is that everyone keeps talking about. You might have to do something out of desperation, where you might even look silly, where you might be rolling on the floor. You might have tears running down your cheeks. You might have snot running down your face, but you don't care because you need a touch from Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And tonight, if you haven't gotten it all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, tonight is your night. If tonight is your first time here this week, tonight is your night. Say that with me. Tonight is my night. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10. I want to talk to you about another man that had a powerful encounter with God Almighty. Let's start in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. You know, we're going to read here about this man and the powerful encounter that he has with God and that his whole household experiences, but I find it interesting that God chose this man. You see, God had poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on the people in the upper room, the 120 so people that were up there. The Holy Spirit came in and shook that place radically, but as of yet, in this part of the Bible, he hadn't fallen yet on the Gentiles, those people that weren't Jewish. He hadn't come upon them yet. And here we're reading about the first instance in the Bible where we have record that the Holy Spirit fell upon a Gentile, someone that wasn't Jewish. Why did he choose Cornelius? You know, he had to choose somebody. And sometimes people might wonder, why does it seem like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is always getting touched by God, is always getting blessed? They're walking in God's provision. They're walking in health. They're walking in the power of God. And it seems like God is always working in their life, but maybe in my life, it hasn't been that way. Maybe in my life, I've gone to church for years and years and years, and all I've ever experienced was hurt and pain and struggle. I promise you that just because you attend church your whole life doesn't turn you into a Christian. Being a Christian is having an experience where Jesus becomes real on the inside of your heart, where all of a sudden, all the questioning ends, and you just know that he is God Almighty, and that he does something inside of your heart. Amen? So here, he picks Cornelius, and let's see why he picks him. It says in verse 2, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So you see the character that he had. He was a man of prayer. He was a generous man. He was a man that was out there helping other people, and he actually had a heart after the things of God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and alms have come before me, have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So you see, God knows exactly who he needs to put in your life to bring you to have an encounter with God. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that you're here tonight, that you just showed up by chance. I believe that you're here tonight because you have a desire to know who God is. And God can use me. God can use Pastor Ben. God can use my wife. God can use ministers of the gospel to take what you've been told to bring it into a real experience where all of a sudden you don't wonder about who God is that I've been told about all my life. You see, I was in that point where I've been told God is real. Jesus is real. Jesus died on the cross for you. And it sounds great and wonderful, but how do I know for sure? It was just these stories that I've been told to the Bible. And yes, the Word of God is real and living. It's breathing. And there's life inside of this book. But It's not until you have a real encounter with Jesus where his presence just overwhelms you and it washes the sins away and takes the guilt and the shame of the things of this world. And it takes the pain that we've been through. It's not until you have that encounter with God that you know for sure that God is real. And you don't have to question and wonder if God is real. You can know tonight in Jesus' name. You know, I love how it says here that his alms and his generosity, his prayer, came up as a memorial before God. You know, too often people think that their prayer and their giving is doing God a favor. That we're praying and we're giving and, you know, we're helping him out. But you have to do it unselfishly. It has to come from a heart of love. And when you do, you see, God took notice of this man Cornelius, who had been a giver, who'd been generous, who'd been praying, who'd been seeking after God. That's the key right there, is he was seeking after God. He didn't know who God was yet. We're going to find out in a minute that he wasn't even saved. But he had the things, the ingredients, the hunger that he needed in order to have this contact with Almighty God, in order to have God pick him out of all the other thousands of Gentiles that were in the region, in order to say, hey, that man right there is the one. He's the one. Because all these other Gentiles, they were there in the region. They lived among the Jews. There was many of them. And yet God picked this man. Because there was something different about him, and it was his hunger and desire to do what God wanted him to do, to have the character of God. Now look over to verse 24. It says, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his friends." Huh. Isn't that funny how when, you see, an angel appeared to this man. In a vision, an angel appeared to Cornelius, and so he knew something amazing, something powerful was about to happen in his life, right? I mean, have you guys ever had an angel actually appear to you? I never have, but if I had, I would know that there was something important that God was about to do, because he doesn't just send angels to appear to anyone at any time. It comes for an important reason. So what does he do? He gets all his friends, all his relatives, anyone that he cared about, and he brought them to his house and made sure that they were there when Peter arrived. Because he was thinking, I don't know who God is yet, but I know that this man Peter, whom God told me to send for, is going to bring the revelation of who God is. So, just like some of you guys have been doing this week, after you've had an encounter with God, after God has been moving in your life, you've been bringing people, because it's too good not to share with other people. It's too good. You've experienced the freedom of God maybe Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then you're like, man, this is just so good. God is moving in my heart. He's changing all these things. I feel at peace. I feel love. I feel joy. Maybe for the first time in quite some time that you're like, I can't just keep this to myself. I have to bring somebody to experience this with me. And that's exactly what Cornelius had been doing. Amen. Hallelujah. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, stood, and saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. You see, this man Cornelius couldn't have had any clue who God was, because once you know who Jesus is, you know that you no longer need to worship any man. We don't come to worship men tonight. We haven't come to seek a man. We've come to seek Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that can change your life. And so Peter knew better. He said, don't worship me, stand up. I'm a man just like you are. And that's talking about the first pope right there, Apostle Peter. He says, I'm just a man just like you are. You don't have to worship me. I was just kidding about the pope things. Maybe somebody believes that, but not me. Sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone tonight, but I am an equal opportunity offender, so if I didn't offend you with that, I'll offend you with something else later, trust me. Because here's the thing, most religion is full of garbage. You know, I mean, it's not a religious system or structure that's going to change people's lives. It's when people come in contact with God Almighty, that they find out that he's real, that someone has a miracle happen in their life, where they get salvation, where they get healed from sickness, where God begins to provide for them and move in their life. It's not just coming to church week after week, stand up, sit down, sing that, read this, say that. It's having an experience with Jesus. Anyone that you read about in the Bible that actually did anything for God had an encounter with him that shook and changed their lives forever, that they were never the same again. And you notice here also something about Cornelius is that he was quick to obey. You see, the Lord sent an angel to appear to him and said, go send for Simon Peter, and he didn't have to pray about it. Sometimes people have an experience with God. God moves on their heart. Go do this. Go do that. I don't know what it is in your life, but when God speaks to you, you don't have to wait to do it. The second that it says right there that the angel appeared to him. He told him what to do. Now send men to Joppa for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And when the angel had spoke to him, he had departed. Cornelius called two of his household and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually and explained to these things and sent them to Joppa. He didn't wait. Man, when you want to find out about who God is, don't waste time. When he's tugging on your heart, he might have been tugging on your heart all week, and you haven't made that decision yet where I don't care what anyone else thinks, but I'm just going to go in all the way. As Pastor Ben was sharing about the river of God, some people go in just to their feet, to their ankles, then some people go knee deep. Man, you have to go all in, just dive right in. And some of you might have been sitting on the bank and looking at the river of life, the river of God, and you're thinking, man, I don't know, what are people going to think if I do something radical for the things of God? What if I just go all in and make myself even look like a fool? What if I answer the altar call? What if I go down front and up in front of all these people that I don't even know who they are? It's not about that tonight. It's about getting into God's presence. So tonight, as God puts on your heart, as God draws you to him, you don't have to wait. Even right now during the service, during the preaching, you can begin to receive from heaven. God's presence is in the room just as strong right now as it will be during the altar call and at the end. God's presence is always here. It's just a matter of, are you pulling on it? Are you tugging on it? Are you saying, God, come touch me now? I'm hungry for you now. I need you now. You know, we often think that God's presence gets stronger, but it's not necessarily so. It's that we're getting hungrier. God, I need you more. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we here? I think we're somewhere around verse 27. And he talked with him, and he went in and found many who had come together. Peter found many people that were there waiting for him. He was expecting God to do something big. Cornelius knew something was about to happen, and these people, many people were there waiting for him, expecting God to move. You have to come to church. You have to come to a service. You have to come to Encounter Week with an expectation. God, I know you're going to move in my life tonight. God, I know you're going to do something big tonight. You have to come hungry. You have to come open, because God won't force himself on anyone. Some of you might be just saying, God, if you're real, you know, you can go ahead and touch me. He never will, not with an attitude like that. You might be just sitting there kind of like casually thinking like, well, let's see, you know, if this church is any different than the other one, let's see what this preacher has to say. It's not about any of that. I can preach the best sermon that you've ever heard tonight. I'm not saying I'm going to, but I could. And you might not experience the power of God because it's not about that. As Paul was saying, it's not that he came with the wisdom of man, but he came with the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation and the power of God that comes to touch and change people's lives. It's not about how fancy you sound. It's not about a fog machine or a lack of fog machine or the spotlights or any of that. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it's about having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, because then you will be filled with God's presence. Amen? Verse 28, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? Peter didn't even really know why he was there yet. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. Verse 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded to you by God. He was fasting. Think about that. He was fasting. He was praying and fasting. Do you know what fasting means? Not eating, right? I mean, when you're not eating, you get really hungry, and it's really hard to do. If you've ever fasted before, it's not like it's fun. The only reason that you would be fasting is that you're desperate for a move of God in your life, is that you're desperate for a touch. But it says that he'd been fasting, that he'd been praying, that he'd been giving. He was doing everything that he could in his ability to get God's attention, and he did, because God chose him over all the other Gentiles that were in that region. God saw Cornelius up in heaven. He saw him and said, that man has placed a demand upon me. That man is doing whatever he can to get my attention. Go and have his house receive me. All right. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Do you know what partiality means? It means favorites. God has no favorites. So if God moved in Pastor Ben's life in Holland and radically changed his life, God can move in your life. If God moved in evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever he is, Sam's life, I'm not sure, he's a bit of everything. But if he moved in his life in England, he can move in your life here. If God moved in my life in Waterport, New York, God can move in your life. Because God is no respecter of persons. God shows no partiality. He has no favorites. If God will do a miracle in your life, then he'll do it in your life and in my life. And it's not dependent upon God. Too many times people are thinking, God, why aren't you doing this in my life, but you're doing it in their life? It's not about God. It's about you. Are you placing the demand for it? Because God doesn't have favorites. No partiality. If you want to receive a touch tonight, then you have to come hungry, desperate for the things of God. Or you can just sit there and watch as other people receive. And you might even enjoy the service and you can go home and say, well, that was nice. But I don't believe that you came here on a Friday night so that you can just sit there and watch other people receive. I believe that you came tonight to receive a touch from heaven, to be impacted by the gospel, be impacted by the power of God Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe, God, that tonight is your night, that tonight you'll receive all that heaven has for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. But in every nation, whoever fears and works righteousness is accepted by him. In every nation, anybody who fears and looks for righteousness, anybody that wants God in their life is accepted by him. There are no favorites. It's just a matter of, are you desperate for him? Are you desperate for a touch? Are you ready for God to move in your life? The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Say all. How many is all? Oh, right, it's everybody, right? Who was healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All means everybody. Everywhere Jesus went, he was carrying the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until he was anointed in the River Jordan by John, that he was baptized in the river by John, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And then that anointing, that power of the Holy Spirit, it was what caused him to go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And do you know that the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So that means if Jesus yesterday or 2,000 years ago was going around and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, well, the good news about that is that God wants to do the same thing today. God is still going around healing all who are oppressed of the devil. He's going around doing good through you and me, through the believers. Jesus empowered the believers before he went up to heaven. He said, he told the believers to go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means they will recover. He told the believers to go out and make disciples of all nations. He empowered the church. He empowered you and me. We're not meant to be weak Christians. We're meant to be full of God's power. The same power that fell on Jesus that caused him to do miracles fell on those disciples on the day of Pentecost. And then that power never went away. The Holy Spirit didn't depart after Apostle Peter died. It wasn't just left to those 12. And then from that time until now, we just have to wait until glory. We're not just here twiddling our thumbs waiting for Jesus to come back. Man, we're to go out filled with the power of God Almighty and to see this region shaken in the name of Jesus. And that's what having an encounter is all about. You know, at first it's all about, God, I need to receive you. I need you to come wash me and cleanse me because I got a whole bunch of junk in my life. And as Pastor Ben was sharing last night about the refiner's fire and how it purifies you, man, I remember the first time I came in contact with the power of God that it began to clean me out. And I became so hungry for the things of God that I was in every service that I could be to receive another touch. And it was all about me having an encounter with God over and over and over again until at some point it began to click into me, God, touch me so that I can touch other people. God, fill me so that I can see other people filled. God, work in my life so that you can use me to work in other people's lives. Amen? For too long, the church has been dormant because it's always been about the people coming in to receive. But you're to receive, to be filled up like a vessel so that you can go out and be used. And tonight, you're going to be filled up so that you can go out and be used by God Almighty. Man, we read about these awesome things in the Bible that the early church did. If you read through the book of Acts, if you've never read through the book of Acts, you'll find out that there's some pretty cool stuff that happened in the Bible. And you'll be like, well, where has that been for the last 2,000 years? It's meant to be here. It's meant to be here. And if God's not a respecter of persons, he shows no partiality, then he's just waiting for someone like you and me to grab hold of the things of God and run with it. Say, God, if you can use Peter, you can use Paul, you can use me. Amen? He wants to do that. And tonight, you're going to receive that touch to go out and do what God has called you to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Verse 40. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who had drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify, it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. You see that? It's not a work system that gets you saved. It's not being on a church attendance card that gets you saved. It's believing in the name of Jesus and all that that name has accomplished for us, that's how we receive the remission of sins. Tonight you may have come in this place knowing that there's sin in your life that you need to deal with. But when you confess the name of Jesus as Lord, he comes into your heart and he washes you clean, and you don't have to live a life of sin and struggle. You don't have to be bound by sin. It's the anointing of the Lord that destroys every yoke of bondage. The same anointing that came upon Jesus that caused him to go out and do good and heal all who were oppressed of the devil, that anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. Any power of the enemy against your life is destroyed from this night forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, verse 44. Here's where I wanted to get to through reading all of that. Even though that was good stuff, this is where I get really excited. While Peter was speaking these words, so Peter's in the middle of his sermon. Peter's in the middle of his preaching. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. That's what church is about. That as you hear the word, it's not about just coming, sitting, and watching. It's about you coming with a hunger and expectation like Cornelius and his family did. And then as you're listening to the word of God, as you're hearing it, the Lord begins to pour out his Spirit upon you. Because as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You see, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's going to be a difference. You see, the disciples, they knew that something had happened. These Gentiles had never received the power of the Holy Spirit before. And as Peter was speaking, the power of the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and then they heard. You see, when the Holy Spirit falls upon someone, you should be able to hear something. You should be able to notice a difference. The Apostle Peter, he noticed that there's a difference. Those people that were with him, they said, these Gentiles, they just received the same touch that we received. And they began to speak with new tongues. Some people wonder, what are new tongues? It's what happens when you get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you get baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. Just like it happened in the Bible, it's still happening today. Unfortunately, there's many people out there that have tried to convince the church that that's of the devil, but if you go down to the bar at the end of the road or wherever, and you find a person that's drunk on the natural wine, drunk on liquor, they will not be praying in the Holy Ghost. I promise you. They will not be praying in tongues. If you go out and find a crack addict, if you go out and find a prostitute, I guarantee that they won't be standing there praying in tongues. And yet, the church, many churches have tried to convince the believers that praying of tongues is of the devil. I grew up with a friend in high school. He was part of a church that unfortunately believed that the praying in tongues was of the devil. He didn't know any better. I invited him to church after I had received the power of God, after the Lord began to work in my life, and I said, you got to come to my church. You got to experience this presence of God. It's so amazing. Man, he came to church, and he got wrecked. The Holy Spirit began to work in his life. He was a crying, blubbering mess for about an hour at the front of the church, just weeping, shaking, fell on the ground uncontrollably. The power of God was all over him. He came back week after week. And then something happened. He stopped coming. And I went and I talked to him. Hey, why did you stop coming? Well, my parents and my grandparents and my pastor told me that that's all of the devil. I mean, this guy had a radical encounter with the power of God, but religion wants to stop it. Religion stopped that move in his life. Today, I don't even really know if he's serving God. He was one of my best friends at the time, always talking about Jesus, but was convinced by religion, that speaking in tongues, that pressing into the things of God and falling down on the ground and rolling and crying and laughing and all these different things that sometimes happen in a Pentecostal service. He was convinced by religion that that was of the devil. Man, those weeks, though, prior to that time where they told him that, those were the best weeks of his life. I promise you, he talked about Jesus. His face was lit up. He was so excited about what God was doing. And as soon as bondage came, as soon as religion tried to grip his life, all of a sudden it was like that joy, all that that passion for the things of God began just to fade out of his life. And I've seen that happen in too many people's lives. I'm tired of seeing that. That's why we have this church here, to see this region shaken by the power of God, to be a place that doesn't just preach about it and say, we're believing God for a move in this area. No, we're having a move in this area. God is moving here. He's here tonight, and he wants to touch you in Jesus' name. His power is here right now, ready to touch and change you. This isn't just a show. This isn't just some thing to get your attention and whatever. It's about connecting you with the power of God Almighty.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.